Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Now your DOD report. The Defense Department is not satisfied with the cloud security standards under the FedRAMP program. A new policy details additional requirements for vendors to sell cloud to DOD. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller writes about DOD's cloud security requirements in his Inside the Reporter's Notebook and is here to discuss it. And Jason, I thought the whole point of FedRAMP was these are cloud security standards and you can use them and be confident that you're going to be fine. But I'm reminded when I look at your Inside the Reporter's Notebook what the real deal here is.
Well, I think that the point of FedRAMP is to give you a set of baseline standards, a floor, if you will.
Yes.
And then everything gets built on top of the floor. And I think what DOD is doing here, and it wasn't clear when Terry Takei, the Defense Department CIO, spoke last week at the NIST Mobile Cloud Computing Conference, because all she said during her speech was, DOD is doing cloud standards. Oh, and we're going to, you know, build upon FedRAMP, or we're going to, the exact quote I have on federalnewsradio.com, but basically she did not make the connection that we are going to take FedRAMP and build on the floor.
Right.
She just made the connection, well, we're going to do our own cloud computing standards. And thankfully we had an astute listener slash reader point out that in fact DOD released a new policy about mid-March that talks, it was DISA who released it, to be honest, about cloud broker security. And now you can make the connection between FedRAMP and what else is happening along with FedRAMP, which is basically building on top of that floor.
Yes. The cloud broker model is something that FedRAMP is still, last I understood, still kind of navigating through. But does that have any impact on how this works?
Well, the cloud broker model is just the idea of that middle person,
yes,
meaning like an insurance broker or car broker. But it's the end provider that really is will have to meet the standards for security.
Got it.
So the broker, the middleman, if you will, or middlewoman, is not that important.
Got it.
In this discussion, I mean.
So what exactly does this policy call for?
Well, it's a huge document, 242 pages, and outlines requirements for infrastructure as a service, software as a service, and platform as a service that are additional requirements beyond just FedRAMP. Now, as we know, FedRAMP outlines for low and moderate level. This cloud policy from DOD actually goes into this secret level, but it's still around mainly unclassified, but at the secret level. Now, I'll give you one quick example for software as a service that goes beyond FedRAMP. For instance, DOD components must use cryptography to protect the confidentiality and integrity of remote access sessions. And that means every time you log on through the cloud to the network, that process has to be encrypted. So your back and forth has to be encrypted. FedRAMP, under the law, does not require that for software as a service, but DOD is saying, for us, we need that kind of a surety that says that information, that data, that connection is encrypted. It also, for instance, removes the requirement for DOD to report their cloud incidents, any incidents, any security incidents in the cloud to the U.S. CERT that's run by the Homeland Security Department. Instead, it's going to go to the DOD Network Operations Center, and then U.S. Cyber Command will work with U.S. CERT should there be any specific breaches, vulnerabilities, problems, and they'll work together to solve a bigger problem. Now, DISA does plan future versions to be released later this year. Also, they'll do some refinement to the standards, and then they're also going to provide guidance to host classified and up to, again, secret data mission applications in the cloud computing environment. So there's plenty more to come from that.
All right. We just have a minute or so left. Tell me about the new database listing all interagency contracts. We've been waiting for this for a while.
We have been. We have to give a lot of credit to the folks at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. We spend a lot of time in the media haranguing which agency, whoever agency you want to point out to, an OFPP in this case, about something they didn't do. And this is something they actually did. Dan Gordon, then the OFPP administrator, committed to putting together a database listing all the blanket purchase agreements, all the GWACs, all the multiple word contracts, and then make it searchable and easy to find. And yes, they did it, which is a great thing. And they told us about it, which is even a better thing. And that's why I wrote about it this week in my reporter's notebook, because I understand from a guest that's been on your show several times, Guy Timberlake,
yes,
that this has been around for a year. But I've seen Joe Jordan and Leslie Field and others talk from OFPP over the last year, and I don't remember them ever mentioning it. And at the Acquisition Excellence Conference a few weeks ago now, they finally mentioned it. And I said something. I said to Leslie, I was like, oh, is this new? And she's like, oh, it launched a little while ago. She didn't have the exact date. And I went through it, and it's easy to use. It has a great amount of data on it. I mean, probably too much data. And I have a link to it on federalnewsradio.com.
Excellent, as always. The Inside the Reporter's Notebook is one of my favorite things you do. I love it every weekend.
And now don't forget, we get to plug Jared's Inside the DOD Reporter's Notebook coming later this week.
His is terrific, and we'll talk to him about that on Friday. And you're going to be back here in with me in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow as we welcome Jerry Buchholz, the Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA, to talk about the results of our Chief Human Capital Officer survey. So that'd be pretty
cool. First one of the year.